The best CRA activities are profitable CRA activities and really do push your bank forward, that we can afford to lose money. But at the same time, we do think that there is a way to do things so that you are moving the bank forward as well as moving the community forward.
This is Behind the Vault, where we study the best in community banking. On this show, we talk with community bank and credit union leaders about their approaches, challenges, and successes in serving their communities in today's world. I'm your host, Rich Edwards. Our aim is to highlight and strengthen one of the most essential parts of our economy, the community financial institution. Stick around at the end of the show to learn how you can be a guest on Behind the Vault. And now, on with the episode. Modern banking allows for structures and footprints in serving unique communities in a way that wouldn't even have been possible even a generation ago. One example of this is One United Bank. To talk to us about that today, we have with us Terry Williams. Terry is the president and COO of One United Bank. One United is a community development financial institution and the largest Black-owned bank in the United States with over $600 million in assets, but over 100,000 customers. Based in Roxbury, Massachusetts, One United offers nationwide banking and financial services with a focus on low to moderate income communities. Terry, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So one of the interesting things is about the history of the bank and kind of how it came together through this kind of M&A strategy that the founder Kevin went about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So we started, as you said, with an M&A strategy. We actually acquired a bank in Boston, Boston Bank of Commerce, and then three other banks, People's Savings Bank in Miami, which is where I am at the moment, as well as Founders, National Bank, and Family Savings Bank in Los Angeles. And they were all Black-owned banks, and we combined them into one and changed our name to One United Bank. Our strategy at that point was to do a roll-up. This was in the early 90s. But then we discovered, I'll say, the internet. And we introduced an internet branch. And at that point, we decided to actually invest in technology to build that branch as opposed to acquire additional banks.
So one aspect of One United is you guys are a CDFI, correct? So
yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about that and what maybe some of the advantages or some of the ways that it helps you serve communities.
Yes. So we've been a CDFI actually since the program, maybe 1 year after the program began. And the reason that we became a CDFI is because it very much fit our mission. Our branches, our focus is on low to moderate income communities. That has been the historic focus of all the banks that we acquired. In fact, it's the reason that we're in banking, is really to figure out how to use the actual tools of banking to help low to moderate income communities build wealth over time. So it's the reason why we became a CDFI, and we've been one since and have won, I want to say, over 10 awards, Bank Enterprise Awards for our CDFI activities.
And so the whole purpose of the program is to give you access to both capital through matching grants, is that correct? And then there's other things like grants around technology programs and things around like healthy food and food supply programs as well. What
yes.
Part of that do you participate in or not participate in?
So we have received, the awards actually come with a grant, and the benefit of, and so we, you know, we apply for the grant, and for us, it's the Bank Enterprise Award, which specifically focuses on the lending that we do in low to moderate income communities. We apply for the grant and, you know, receive the grant if our activities merit it. The benefit of the grant program is that it does give us additional funds, you know, capital. It's a grant. It's not, you know, a loan. So it gives us additional capital that we use to, for us, it's to invest in technology and people. Those are the two places that we have used the grant for.
So there are specific technology grant programs as part of the CDFI program. And this is run by, is it the Fed runs the
CDFI U.S. Treasury.
Program? Treasury does. Okay. So there are specific technology grant programs, but that's not something that you've taken advantage of, correct?
No, correct. I'll have to ask our chief information officer if there's a possibility for that. But yes, no, we have not. We have the benefit of having done this roll-up strategy and then introducing this internet branch. Really, when technology has shifted, your introduction was fabulous because there was a change when, you know, sort of the banking industry went from mainframes to servers, and we built the bank on a server platform, and it, you know, part of the reason was necessity. I mean, we were located in Boston, Miami, and Los Angeles. You know, we had this geographic footprint that really required us to focus on technology, even for internal use. We built a knowledge portal so that all of our employees were operating using the same policies and procedures. So it was really out of necessity that we started to invest in technology. It wasn't for the community development aspect of it, but as we started to build our technology internally, we realized that there was an opportunity to use this technology to offer services that we would not have been able to offer without it.
So what's interesting is that the technology part of your strategy, particularly the ability to manage kind of your geographically dispersed footprint and your internet branch was core to your strategy, something you were going to do no matter what, not just because there was a grant program behind it.
Absolutely.
And yes. And this was, what was the time frame for this? You said this was
we introduced our internet branch in 2005. So, you know, almost 20 years ago. I can't imagine managing the bank without our technology. And it's not just, you know, I talked about servers or the hardware, but it's also the software. We're a Salesforce. We have a Salesforce platform, which is a CRM platform. I literally can see everything that goes on in the bank, you know, literally on my phone, you know, because of that platform. So I can see all of our, so it's not just what we have for our customers who can open up accounts online, who can get short-term small dollar loans from us online within, you know, minutes. It's also internally, it allows our employees to have access, 360-degree access to our customer information, be able to service them, and for me to be able to see, you know, the amount of volume that's going through, and also, you know, when we have issues. So it really is our technology that has made a difference in terms of not just service, but also how we manage the bank.
So what are some of the things that you do, regardless of whether it falls under the CDFI umbrella or not, that's kind of unique, right? Like you bought up a number of like very specific banks to roll them up together. And there's a common, even if the geography and the zip code isn't the same, there's a commonality between the communities that you serve and the needs that are there. What's unique about that? And what's unique about like how you do banking, what you provide your customers?
So, yes, all of the banks we acquired were Black-owned, and we are continuing to be a Black-owned bank. And we're, as we call it, unapologetically Black. And the reason why we say that is because we believe that it's really important to be authentic with your customers, to really speak to them in terms of who you are and who they are in order for them to trust you. And so one of the things that's unique is that we realize that the Black community really had a distrust for banks. You know, I remember when, you know, 2008 happened and there was a concern about, you know, too big to fail. And, you know, I was saying to regulators, hey, that's not the concern of our community. Our community is just concerned about trust and the you know, whether or not the banks are really looking to make money or, as opposed to help them and be, you know, trustworthy. So we have spent a lot of time building trust within our community for bank into banking. But we also have done that not just by, you know, sort of the words and being authentic. We've also done it with our services. Our services are unique to banking. You know, we've been offering 2-day early pay as an example where, you know, our customers can get paid early. We've been offering that for years. You know, larger banks are starting to offer it, but we realized that there was a need to do that based on our customer base. We offer a short-term small dollar loan program with a 21% interest rate. 21% is high relative to if you have good credit, but in comparison to payday loans where the rates are much higher, it's actually a savings to our customers. And, you know, they pay back the loan in 90 days. So it is similar to a payday loan. We do the loan without a credit check, but we really are trying to provide them with an alternative to payday lending. We offer a secured credit card. Again, very unusual. Most banks, period, don't offer a secured credit card. But we realized that our community needed that in order to rebuild credit. So we're always looking for ways to use banking as a tool to, you know, as we see opportunities to bridge this trust gap, as well as the opportunities to offer services that national banks don't offer and that most community banks don't have the technology to offer.
So is this a sense that you're not really competing with other traditional banks or credit unions? It's more you're competing with non-traditional, non-bank financial services in the communities that you service, like payday loans, like buy here, pay here type installations, right?
Correct. But part of the reason for that is that banking, and you know, you sort of know this, banking goes where the money is, you know, there is a, yet at the same time, not just Black Americans, but Americans in general, a lot of Americans don't have, you know, the $400 in savings in case of an emergency, you know, so we are competing. I wouldn't even say competing. We are trying to fill a hole that exists because the larger national banks, you know, if you don't have, you know, $1,000, $1,500, you know, on average in a bank account, it's going to cost you money to have that account. And you may not get the service that you need or the services that you need in order to sort of build wealth and live your day-to-day life. Even financial literacy, which we promote a lot, but it's basic, you know, sort of what is a bank account? Why is it important to have a savings account? You know, what is credit? How do you rebuild your credit? You know, as opposed to, you know, what's a derivative or, you know, should you have, you know, a balanced securities portfolio? Those things are important as well to our community, but there is a huge part of America, you know, that needs sort of basic financial literacy. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how old you are, but when I was growing up, we had home economics. So it was taught in school. And, you know, today they're not teaching financial literacy in school. So we try to fill a gap is really the way I would describe what One United does.
I am old enough to have taken home ec when I was in school.
Okay.
So just on the financial literacy side, I know that's a big part of what you do in a like the upfront part of your customer experience. We got to mention you're also a published author. You have a book out there. You want to tell us a little bit about the book?
It's called I Got Bank, and it's about a young boy, a Black boy, who is trying to save money, and his mother, his brother, and his sister are trying to spend his savings. And he navigates, you know, how do I help my family? Because each of them has their own, you know, financial issues, while at the same time do what his granddad taught him, which is to save. And the reason that I wrote the book, first of all, is because there wasn't at the time, and this has been now over 10 years ago, there weren't a lot of books that included Black kids and money. So again, there was this hole, and I you know, I started writing and wanted to do like a little pamphlet. And the character just kept talking to me. And so it ended up being a book. So part of it was because there was this hole, but part of it is the story. And a lot of families, and particularly Black families, there is, if you're lucky, there's one family member that is doing okay. And everyone is sort of turning to that family member for help. And they have to figure out, how do I help my family? Because we're, you know, everybody's very family oriented, you know, without drowning. So the character, his name is Jazz Ellington, he does end up figuring this out with the help of his community, Black Owned Bank. So it's a great story, and it really promotes saving to youth.
So one thing about this, about your story, the story of the bank, is, you know, reaching out and serving in underserved or a forgotten part of the community, or one that isn't served well, right? But also being able to do it and have it be a viable business. Just tell us a little bit about that, because a lot of times you talk to institutions and, you know, they'll talk about like their home dev program or, you know, CRA and everything. And that's one of those things where you want to do the minimum so that the regulators get off your back, but you get no credit for overachieving. So tell us a little bit about your approach or your thoughts and what kind of drove you around this.
Yeah. So I think that the best CRA activities are profitable CRA activities and really do push your bank forward. You know, when we looked at, for instance, our Cash Please program, which is the short-term small dollar loan, we figured out how to do it profitably. Because that was very, very important to us. You know, we can't afford, I mean, just like, you know, any bank out there, we can't afford to lose money. But at the same time, we do think that, and it's really threading the new needle. We do think that there is a way to do things so that you are moving the bank forward as well as moving the community forward. Even this, you know, the book that I wrote, I Got Bank, we do a financial literacy contest every year for youth 8 to 12. And, you know, the winner gets we have 10 winners, they get $1,000 savings account. So that, you know, the program, you know, we get free publicity for it. You know, it cost us $10,000. But what it does is it brings a lot of families, you know, new families that didn't hear about the bank. It brings them to the bank as customers. So, you know, in the end, when we look at it, it actually is a profitable endeavor that also helps the community. Let me give you one that we just did. We just introduced AI, an AI tool that, again, technology that gives our customers insight into their spending. This, you know, using artificial intelligence, looks at their spending and says, oh, you know, we noticed on these days you didn't spend any money. You know, good for you. Oh, we noticed that, you know, you have two Netflix bills. Is that what you know, is that correct? Is that how you want to spend your money? Or like, oh, you know, today or this month, you have some extra money in your checking account that maybe you want to move to savings. You know, it costs us money to install this program, to offer this program, but we do believe and we're seeing that it helps our customers save money and therefore helps them, you know, put more dollars into their bank account. So I think the key to CRA is to not view it as a burden, but actually, you know, sort of flipping it around, you know, and say, okay, how can we do some things that actually help the community, but also help the bank?
What's interesting, and it's something we said in the intro, was, you know, you're a $600 million institution, but you have 100,000 customers.
Yes.
Which implies, you know, you start to think of that from a business model standpoint, that implies a level of unit economics that is way different than many other, even smaller community financial institutions.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And we service, first of all, we have customers in all 50 states. And we service those customers with a call center who really represents the face of the bank. I mean, our customers do call. They like to call. And we, you know, we hire from the community. We have a call center here in Miami as well as in Los Angeles. And so that gives us, you know, it's first of all, it's a call center Monday through Friday from 9 to 9 p.m. It's not 24/7. It's not on the weekend. You know, for our customers, sometimes that's an issue, but that's what we can afford, you know, given our cost structure. We do have an ability, you know, we have chat. So we have an ability for people to do things, you know, offline as well as call. And we also have a focus on trying to get our customers to not have to call, you know. So we go through our whole process to figure out what are the pain points and what can we do to make, you know, sort of life easier for our customers. Because the reality, we do have some customers that like to call, but most people don't like to call, you know. And so, you know, it is really a different framework than what I would call traditional community banking. It is, you know, an element of digital banking, but, you know, with a sort of a personalized approach.
Well, this is really interesting. And I think the things to take away here are, number one, the differentiator you have around trust and the approach that you bring and understanding and empathy to, you know, the specific communities that you serve, and how that can lead to a profitable business, like a sustainable, yes, profitable business. Terry, thanks for sharing with us. If people want to learn more about One United or you, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to One United, oneunited.com, and they can learn all about us.
Thanks for being here, Terry.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been Behind the Vault, a production of Mindspan Systems, helping community FIs provide service like no other. Learn more at mindspaninc.com. If you're a community bank or credit union leader and have a story to tell, please visit behindthevaultpod.com/guest. That's behindthevaultpod.com/guest. If you found this episode useful, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, as that helps other FI leaders like you find the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for more insider stories from community banking on Behind the Vault.